The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "For it is if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made it 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made you 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our parable, we're given another example rooted in money, in economics. Perhaps Jesus knows how attached we are to our proverbial wallets, that these financial illustrations would give us some emotional connection to what he's talking about. While on the surface, the parable seems to celebrate and could even encourage trading or even gambling in the marketplace, I wonder if at the heart of the parable, Jesus is asking us to consider what faithfulness looks like in a time of waiting. What does faithfulness look like in a time of waiting? As we await the second coming of Christ, what are we to do with what God has given to us? Do we graciously give and share what God has given to us in the world? Or do we hoard it? Do we hide it? Do we squander it? At our annual meeting last week, to paraphrase something our treasurer said, that in the business world you have to spend money to make money. But for us as a church, we spend money to do ministry, and we do it in the community. God's economy is a different type of economy that we're invited to participate in. It's not the way of the world. Perhaps that's part of the reason why churches in North America are floundering. It's because they're burying what God has given them, negligent in opportunities to share the gospel. How are we negligent in our sharing of the gospel as a congregation?
How are you negligent in sharing the gospel in your own life? I know I am. We're given the ability and opportunity to be gracious in this world, and both on an individual and collective level, we at times fail to take and seize that opportunity. Faithfulness in a time of waiting may call us to be even more lavish when it comes to extending grace to others. As Bishop Robert Barron puts it, grace is a gift. The more we give it away, the more we in turn receive. Essentially, after we receive the good news, the gospel, as I said a few weeks ago, that the gospel is God loves you, period, right? After you've received that news, do we share it or do we bury it? Much of our problem, I believe, is that we bury it. We're afraid to share it. Churches have made idols out of institutions and buildings that were designed to help share the good news, but have now become the very things that we need to sustain. So we bury the good news because we're afraid we might lose in our giving and in our sharing. But grace is a gift. The more we give it away, the more we in turn receive. And regardless of where one falls on the ideological spectrum of American Christianity, we all bury the gospel in one way or another when we think the gospel is not enough. It's not enough to engage people with God's good news that God loves them. We just think it's not enough. It has to be about something else. Which is why we see Christianity in our culture reduced at times to morality, to programs, to entertainment, to false promises of prosperity. We are often tempted to make the gospel about something else. And part of the reason behind that is so that we can sustain our buildings and our institutions. But when we do that, we end up digging ourselves into a hole. When we bury the gospel, we then find ourselves living in a world where we're trading in revenge rather than mercy, and we're choosing alienation as opposed to reconciliation. But the good news is that Jesus' faithfulness prevails. Even when there are times that we would rather sit in the darkness, even when we would squander those opportunities to extend God's grace to others, Jesus' faithfulness prevails. Amid our reluctancy to take a chance, our resistance to extend grace, the good news of God's love for us as Christians is found in Jesus, who did not resist extending grace to the world, who did not squander the opportunity to share God's love with all people. We see the faithfulness of Jesus on the cross, and he was buried due to our mistrust and our brokenness, which is a reminder that faithfulness is not something we can do on our own. When we succumb to the temptation to make the gospel about other things, we put ourselves in the driver's seat. But when we seek to be faithful in a time of waiting, we know it's not about us, but it's about God. It's not our work, but it's God's work. And the Holy Spirit gives us that faith to endure. Today, Nevaeh, Mary, Isabella, and Daniel are going to live in God's new economy with us as they receive the sacrament of holy baptism. And in holy baptism, they will be claimed and chosen as God's own. Through their joys and sorrows in both life and death, God's love will never, never, ever leave them. They're given a promise. They're extended a grace that we pray will never be buried, that they would extend that to others. When we look at 1 Thessalonians in our second lesson today, keeping awake, I think, requires practice, preparation. We must practice our faith so that we might be alert to the opportunities in which God provides for us to extend God's grace in the world. And the good news for Nevaeh, Mary, Isabella, and Daniel is that they're not entering this journey alone. They're entering a community. They're forever belonging to a family of faith. In living the baptized life, we pray that they will continue to live among God's faithful people. This is all from the baptismal rite that we're about to hear, right? They're invited to live among God's faithful people, to receive the word and the sacrament of Holy Communion, to learn the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Ten Commandments, that they would get to know the Holy Scriptures. All says that in the baptismal rite. Why does it say that there? Well, immediately following all that, it says, so that they may learn to trust God. Immersing yourself in the good news, in what is essential and foundational for us as Christians, so that we might learn to trust God. The burying of the talent, which is like 20 years worth of wages, is a lack of trust of what God can do and what God will provide. Theology of scarcity versus a theology of abundance. We pray that those baptized today and all the baptized are invited not just to learn, but to pray and sit with community, to enter into a life of prayer, of worshiping a God that we encounter in the Creed and the Scriptures. And it is from that baptismal rite in which we're invited to be immersed in all these things and shifts to an invitation then to proclaim Christ in word and deed, to care for others and the world God has made, and to work for justice and peace. Grace is a gift. The more we give it away, the more in turn we receive. This is not an economy of the world. The economy of our world, there's winners and losers. There's haves and have-nots. But in God's economy, there is growth when we give away, when we share. There is life when there is death. So coming out of those baptismal waters, Nevaeh, Mary, Isabella, and Daniel will be children of God, children of the light in a dark and broken world. They will daily be invited to share that light and shine that light in the darkness as they die and rise with Christ each day. They and all the baptized are invited to extend God's grace, God's love and faithfulness, knowing that it frees us to live as a people liberated in this world. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 to 10, we heard, "For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him." That's good news to cling on a baptismal day, isn't it? Whether we are awake or asleep, it's God's faithfulness that's won for us our salvation. Jesus has done the work. And we're not doing it alone. Because immediately after that verse, in verse 11, "Therefore encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing." And Paul's words are echoing in our community today, because I believe that those who are being baptized today have been built up and will continue to be built up. They're loved. They're told that they belong here in this community of faith. And I believe they will continue to do the same for us. So may we share the grace of God and not bury the gospel, not make it something else, but rely on those key foundational basics of faith to immerse ourselves in, to pray and meditate and guide and speak to us anew each and every day that we've received, knowing at the end of the day that God is faithful and that we have learned and grown to trust God and to trust the truth that grace is a gift, and the more we give it away, the more we in turn receive. Thanks be to God. Amen.